I think the full realization of what I'm saying in this service makes the difference between an ordinary and extraordinary Christian. The difference is expressed in these words, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It should be an accomplishment, not theory with the believer. It is the book of Acts, not the book of plans in the New Testament. It's legal to give someone authority to act for you in your absence. This is known as the power of attorney. I believe this is in force in the Christian religion, and it is why I am Pentecostal. The tragedy of tragedies is that this power of attorney is not used. It is there, but so seldom used. Legally, it usually begins with these words, know all men by these presents, that I do hereby authorize and empower John Doe in my place and in my name. Now that's carte blanche. It is a coveted and responsible position of trust. A Christian isn't a puppet. Under Calvary, a believer fulfills God's original intent. Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. The Bible records this power of attorney so often bestowed. There is record of it in John 14, 12, 14. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. Now, two elements of a power of attorney are present in this passage. They are, first, power to act, and second, the authority must be exercised in the name of the one who gave it. Check with your legal advisor about this, and then apply it to your Christian experience, and it will work for Methodists as easily as for the Assemblies of God. I am commanded to act in Jesus Christ's name and in his place until his return. This is evangelism, mister, nothing else. Jesus said it, now ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. The interlocking ministries of Elijah and Elisha teach this truth. Elisha sought a transfer of power. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That request was in answer to the master's offer. Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elisha used this power of attorney before supper. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now that made a difference between Elisha and the sons of the prophets studying in Jericho. They said the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. Now God intends that same action today. God gave this power of attorney to Moses. It is brilliantly displayed in the opening chapters of Exodus. Pharaoh demanded credentials. Moses was not a stranger to Egypt or to the royal house. He was on devastating ground, and only divine authority could sustain him. Pharaoh was curt. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. It had to be a test of strength. Moses acted in the name of God with full authority. I have seen the humiliation of my people who are in Egypt. And their outcry have I heard by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their pains. Therefore have I come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians. Now therefore come thou, that I may send thee unto Pharaoh, and bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. For something like that, mister, you need more than battle plans. You need divisions. Moses felt that way. He had been trained in the military. He said, lo, as surely as I go in unto the sons of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, so surely will they say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses required what Elisha required at the Jordan and what Peter required at the day of Pentecost. He required authority, and God had it forthcoming. Thus shalt thou say unto the sons of Israel, Yahweh, God of your fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name to time's age abiding, and this is my memorial to generation after generation. So will they hearken unto thy voice. The court must agree with you that everything revolves around this essential. In whose name and by whose authority are you acting? Now, the power wasn't in any goodness, innate or otherwise, that Moses possessed. It was this power of eternity. The record is dazzling. It is beyond anything Alexander the Great or Wellington or Grant or MacArthur accomplished. He struck the waters of the Nile with his rod and turned them to blood. He held his rod over the river and frogs covered the land. He struck the dust with his rod and lice overran the nation. He proclaimed a plague on the cattle. He threw a handful of ashes into the air before Pharaoh, and the infection of boils spread among the population. He held up his rod toward heaven, and terrible hail fell. He held up his rod again, and the plague of locusts came. He lifted his hand skyward, and darkness covered the land for 3 days. And he announced the plague of death to come at midnight, and it came. The writer to the Hebrews sums it when he records these words: by faith, Moses. This perfectly legal arrangement of trust and commitment is so potential that the receiver is often numbed at the thought of using it. Moses found it hard to believe that he was authorized to exercise God's power. When the Israelites found themselves trapped between the pursuing Egyptian army behind them and the Red Sea in front, Moses lost confidence and prayed for help. But God reminded him that he had been given power of attorney to do whatever was needed. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. It boils down to this, my professing church member. Have you or have you not received power? I'm not asking you or debating with you whether or not you are saved. I believe you are. Have you received power? But tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Joshua knew this power. He exercised it. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for Yahweh thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That mystery is a passport to victory. So Joshua tested it as Elisha tested it. Elisha tackled the Jordan. Joshua tackled the sun. He said in the sight of Israel's sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon. Joshua is to Moses as Elisha is to Elijah. It's always greater things than these shall ye do, and I believe it is God's manifest intention. Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So believe your mission. No one was more unlikely than Gideon. Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He and David could sympathize with each other. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. God gave this untrained county lad the power of attorney. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. It was a big job, and I don't blame Gideon for being scared. But he put that authority to the test. And this is what pleases God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. The New Testament is explicit. Matthew records the moment, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And Luke says he did the same for the 70. Now, mister, every believer is in apostolic succession. I must use this power or be held responsible for neglect. Christ says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, I am not believing if that is not happening. I'm only attending church. I'm only rendering lip service. I'm not believing The times call for performance and courage. He holds no parley with unmanly fears. Where duty bids, he confidently steers, faces a thousand dangers at her call, and trusting in his God, surmounts them all. So why do we cringe in a corner while the forces of evil boastfully advance? Our power is a million times theirs. We've had too much talk. Now it's time to act. You have the power of attorney, believer. Use it. This is the moment, folk. When we head toward the long, long altar, hearts are very near the master. And you're not alone. This network fellowship of believers surrounds you on every side, so kneel in confidence. Prayer is heard here, and the Holy Spirit is moving towards you in these next 10 seconds. The high priest of Calvary will listen, so tell him all at this broadcast, all or count on it. He understands. His sympathy and mercy help know no bounds. So tell him what you are and what you want to be, and then experience immediate help. I'm bringing you to Jesus. You should head toward the church later and toward Sunday school and water baptism and communion and tithing, but right now, head toward Jesus. The miracle is there. Blessed Savior, we kneel at thy invitation and in thy name. We're not worthy, and nothing we could do ever would make us worthy. It is thy blood that speaks for us. We thank thee for receiving sinners. We thank thee for thy intention toward us. We thank thee for the testimonies of millions that have preceded us. We praise thee now as sons of God. It is our joy and privilege to work in thy kingdom and to spread thy gospel. And we give thee all the glory. Amen. So many friends are with us in this service from every part of the nation, and all have added to the blessing of the meeting, and I know you feel it where you are. Now we turn toward the special ministry of this moment, and we become extremely sensitive to the Spirit's direction. So once more, dare to live in the Book of Acts fashion with me. I'm made to know by the divine nudge. That special touch that is given to New Testament workers. That there is at this long, long altar a prospective mother who fears a miscarriage. It has happened before, and you feel you cannot live through one more disappointment. Now the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has come to you at this altar as he has come to women before, to remove fear, to bring assurance. There will be divine help with the child. For God has plans for this child. Believe it and rest your case on this blessed moment of realization at the altar of God. I have come to you as God's servant. Lord, we thank thee for this direct intervention. In Jesus' name, amen. You have found yourself a part of spreading network of believers' fellowship. We're not a denomination promoting either ritual or membership, but we have found this common bond that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.